Hello everybody and welcome to the Match Electronic Box for the week of the 20th of January 2014. Second podcast of this year, I think, maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
Thereabouts. Anyway, we're a full house, thankfully, this week. What have you guys been playing? Tell me. Tell the world what you guys been playing.
I played like 30 more hours of Crusader Kings.
Yeah. I saw that.
That game's pretty good. I don't know if you know this.
The game is very not bad from the sounds of it.
Yeah, very not bad. That's one way to put it.
Very average.
Yeah, so some crazy shit went down that I relayed to Brad at the time that it happened.
Whilst I was streaming as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was great. noises out the arse.
So I can't even remember if I sort of said what was going on in my current game on the last podcast, but yeah, I am like king of Russia. At the time of the recording of the last podcast, I was king of Russia. Stuff was looking good. And then I had like a revolt, which actually seems like a pretty common occurrence. Like some vassals, like, oh, I want to be the king of Russia. I'm going to lead a revolt.
Probably your brother.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was some kinsman or something. Some related nephew.
Some relation.
Yeah. So he's like, yo, I'm going to be king of Russia. I was like, haha, no, you're not. Because like I pretty much at that point like I was just like destroying revolts in like under a month of game time, which isn't very long. So he pops up, he's like brings like 900 troops or something, and I was like, oh, fuck you, I've got like 5,000. Then like this dialogue box pops up and it's like, oh, loads of rebels are flocking to his flag. Like I was like, eh. Whatever, it's not going to be that much. And then, like, he had like 7,000 troops suddenly, proceeded to attack the army I had, which my like king, the character I was playing as, happened to be leading, and took my king prisoner, and became king of Russia. So I was sat in prison while he was, you know, doing stuff. Yeah, sat in prison for about, I don't know, 10 years or something. It was a long time. Eventually, he decided to cut my hand off for some reason, and then I died. So on death, you become your heir. My heir was one of my sons. So he wasn't in prison, but he just sort of owned a county. He wasn't really very powerful or anything. So I was just sort of sitting around again for like 5 years, not really doing much because I couldn't, like, I started a faction to like, put myself on the throne, since I was sort of, I had a claim to the throne because of, you know, my dad being the king, but nothing really came of that. And then like suddenly my brother, I don't know how this happened, but my younger brother became the king. Like I don't know how he managed to do it, but he did. And I was like, yo, fuck that, I want to be king. I'm the older brother, I should be king. So I started a plot to assassinate him. Took a while, but eventually it happened. He died, and I was like, "Yeah, fuck this. I'm king now. I'm king of Russia." And then, like, another dialogue box pops up and tells me I'm regent instead of actual king because my brother had a son, I believe, just before I killed him. I was like, "Right, seriously, fuck this. Right, he's dying as well." So I start a plot to assassinate his 0-year-old son. And then he died within about a month. And then I was king of Russia. Took over like some pretty big territories, then became like a senile old man and died, and split my kingdom between my three sons, which I didn't realize was going to happen. So I've just had to like beat my two brothers in battle to take over the kingdoms that, should rightfully have been mine as the older son. So, yeah. Now, I'm pretty much back to square one after all that shit. And still on course to create the empire of the Russian Empire.
Which, the USSR.
Yeah, basically.
The
USSR. Yeah, that's basically my goal at this point. Like I've pretty much took over, like, Estonia and, like, all the weird...
Eastern European countries.
Yeah, so Yeah, I just need so the only problem is like the Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, I was just about to say, when do you fight them?
Yeah, that's going to probably be pretty soon, because like there's a load of like buffer states essentially between me and them. It's like like Lithuania and stuff, and like the like I think like Kiev is between us and the Romans. So yeah, at some point we like those two empires are gonna clash. Like the Byzantine Empire went down the shitter somehow. I don't know what happened. Like I just checked the. It's funny to just like check the map on places that you don't really look at, like every like 100 years, and it's just like, oh, now you know Wales owns all of Spain or something.
Yeah, I was just about to say, how is Spain doing?
I think Spain's doing all right. I think France has sort of went crazy.
Begone.
Like it's just like tiny. It's like all like individual counties now. It's not like one big kingdom.
Yeah. Who is it? It's the I've forgotten. Who are the people that usually take over Spain?
There's quite a few, like, when you first start, there's quite a few Muslim states in there.
Yeah, they get invaded by the Muslims from Africa a lot. But I'm trying to think. There's a... I can't remember who it is at the moment. I'll look it up.
I think England's all English. Some crazy empire that or kingdom or whatever that I've never heard of has taken over... I think it's Norway or Finland.
Right.
Because Norway. Because Norway is now Iceland. And the actual like country Norway as it is now is owned by some crazy person, like some tribesman or something. I don't know what happened in Norway. Bad stuff, basically.
Awesome.
But I think Russia or Rostov, I think was the county I initially started as. It's a really good one to start as because you have pretty decent like army starting army just because your vassals seem to like you quite a lot and you're sort of like on one side you've got like quite a lot of allies and then on the other you can just sort of start holy wars with all the people to your east because they're all like pagans and Muslims, so holy wars are like one of the easiest ways to gain territory because you can start a holy war for like a whole like kingdom. Whereas a lot of the time you've got to sort of like, when you're like starting a war with someone who's like the same religion as you, or you don't really have a proper, all you have is like a claim on like a single county or something. And like starting a war, like trying to build up territory by doing that is just, it's not really efficient. Like it's way easier to just pay holy war. Let's do this. Cause you will end up pretty much taking them over. And like if you start a holy war, like all your vassals like you, cause you're killing infidels and like, it's way easier to get like allies to join your cause because they're like, yeah, fucking, let's kill the guys who aren't the same religion as us. So it's pretty accurate to real life, is what I'm trying to say.
Pretty much.
All religions hate each other.
Yep, religion is the source of all wars.
Yep. So, yeah, Crusader Kings, like that game's sort of insane. Did you end up playing either of the mods?
No, I downloaded both of them, but I didn't play any of them.
I played a bit like Game of Thrones one, which is like I only played about 20 minutes or so because I managed to fuck it up in like 20 minutes. But it seems really well done in terms of just the detail. You can start at different periods in like the novels. There's a lot of like unique events that are going. Like I started as John, like after a Feast of Crows, I think, or during a Feast of Crows. Stannis was like, "Yo, do you want to like, you know, take Winterfell back and stuff?"
Oh, really? That's awesome. Like, that's clever.
King of the North or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, "Hell yeah!" But then I don't know what I managed to do, but I somehow managed to lose all my land and then just become. And then I think I like broke the game because it was like when I'd like hover over my character portrait, it would have like weird text where like it's supposed to tell you your like location and like what you own. So I think I somehow managed to break it. But I think next time I probably wouldn't be John just because like he has a lot of like weird restrictions on him. Like he's not supposed to like claim land and stuff. And like,
yeah, it's like he doesn't exactly have a lot going for him in the books. So
yeah, I just
probably should have chosen someone else.
Yeah, like I might like be a, like a wildling or something next time. Because
what? That's even worse.
Well, like no, because they like they don't have like restrictions on like oh you can't take
play as Ned and see if you get beheaded.
Yeah. So like,
who would you guys be from Game of Thrones if you had to like choose a character?
Tyrion, because he's the least likely to get fucked.
Who do you want to be?
Come
book five, Tyrion is pretty fucked in a lot of ways.
True. Could have been worse.
True. He's alive, at least.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because like, all the, like, it's weird, because like, the good characters, all the sort of protagonists of those books aren't really the, like, ambitious ones, except for Tyrion. Mm. So, like, it would be a bit weird. Like, maybe Stannis.
Stannis is...
just in terms of the game, like that would maybe be interesting, sure. But
yeah,
especially like towards the end of those books, because he's or where they are now, because that's when he's starting to like try and, you know, actually make a claim on the throne and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't play any of that Elder Scrolls mod, but apparently that one's really good. And there's a bunch of like ones that are like fixes basically for stuff and like UI improvements, which I should have downloaded but for some reason didn't. But I think it's called like Crusader Kings 2 Plus or something. And it basically like incorporates a load of like the smaller mods that just do like weird stuff that I'm trying to think. I think there's one that like tries to make the map more like historically accurate or something and like splits it up like even further so there's like even more territory, which just sounds insane because there's already like a bunch of territories in there. I think there's one that like expands the map out into like Asia, like the Middle East, and I think maybe some of like China and Japan. I'm not 100% sure. Which again sounds crazy because there's already like just an insane amount of like territory. Like it would be like impossible to like take over the whole world in that game. So like adding like, you know, a bunch of other nations is just is crazy. And I watched a bit of a Let's Play of Europa Universalis, which is like the other big Paradox game.
So the one that runs from the end of Crusader Kings until the 1800s.
It's basically like just a continuation of Crusader Kings 2. Like all the maps, all the UI stuff like looks almost like
identical. Yeah, it does.
I might get that at some point because I think they released like a thing for Crusader Kings 2, which allows you to like import your save from Crusader Kings and into Europa Universalis. So that would be pretty crazy.
That's clever.
I don't know. Like their games are really interesting. Like I want to play some Sengoku, which is like the basically Japanese version of Crusader Kings 2. Because that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm.
Indeed,
but yeah, that game's really good. I played some Spelunky on the Vita.
I did not know that was on Vita.
Yeah, it's like £12, but it's cross buy, so you get a PS3 version as well.
Oh, cool. I might pick that up. I've been wanting to try that game, but it's in that category of like games I wouldn't use my PC for.
Yeah.
So
I guess the there was actually a difference between the Vita version and the like the 360 version, which was like the first version, which is the addition of the daily challenge mode, which I think is in the Steam version as well now. Basically, just it like the way Spelunky works is like every time you start a new game, it like randomly like seeds the world, sort of rogue-likey. But let's not go down that path. But like the daily challenge is like a set map each day that like everyone can play, and it like does a leaderboard for like the amount of money you get doing that specific seed, and you can only do it once a day, and that's a good that's a really clever way of getting me to play more Spelunky. Like having you compete against other people, and no, just it just gives you, I guess, another sort of objective in that game, because like I think on the 360 version I beat Olmec, which is one of the bosses. But yeah, there is a load of stuff to do in that game that I'm just never going to do because it's insane. But the daily challenge is a really clever addition, and that game is should have got on the Vita. Purely down to the fact that the Vita has really good controls, so
yeah. I never got into Spelunky.
Yeah,
tried it, but no, not interested.
Yeah, that game's you've got to invest some amount of time into it before it starts.
I think it's a bit like what's the space one called again?
Space one?
Oh, the space FTL. I had the same experience I had with FTL with that game. Of playing it once, being like, eh, and then not wanting to really play it again.
Yeah, those games are both like time investment. You've got to make some sort of progress, I think, before you start actually getting into that game. Like, I can imagine like playing that first world and like dying constantly at the end, and just being like, I don't really see the point in this. I'm gonna not play this anymore. But
I got to the second world once, and was like, okay.
Yeah.
Between this and playing Vice City more, I think I'll go playing Vice City. That's something I can get good at.
Yeah. And the only other thing I played was Demon Souls for some reason.
Because Brad played it?
Yeah, probably. I think last time, I think it was quite recently I played it. I was carrying on from a character I'd had from not that long ago. Made it up to, I had two different bosses I could go to and was just getting stomped by both of them. So I was like, well, I think I've basically made my character, like I've done a shitty build, so I'm going to have to start again. But I had like another save from the character I made when I first started, like first bought the game and started it. So I was like, maybe I'll check this guy out instead of like having to do like the whole start of that game again. And I beat the boss I originally got stuck on when I first got it. And the character I built actually seems quite good. So I might just carry on from there.
Soul Arrow?
Yeah, Soul Arrow. Flame Toss. I think that's what it's called.
Flame Toss.
Yeah. So that's one of the differences, I guess, between Dark Souls and Demon Souls. It's like there's no pyromancy in Demon Souls. It's that like all the fire stuff just incorporated into like being a mage.
How is that a good thing?
Is that a good thing, or how is that a good thing?
How is that a good? You said it was a good thing, didn't you?
I just said it was different.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said it was better.
But I guess it is a good thing in terms of like being able to do more stuff.
I guess if you want to be a wizard, it's a good thing, but otherwise I thought the pyromancy wasn't tied to any stats, it actually meant I got to use magic.
I don't really see it from that point of view, yeah.
Because I never play a magic character, but I chose pyromancer, and it was fun to throw fire at shit in Dark Souls near the beginning.
Yeah, it's nice if you want to be a mage, because you get something extra, but I guess if you wanted to do pyromancy and didn't want like stuff, then yeah. So I'm gonna just see how far I get with that character, because it might turn out that he's also shit. But he seems pretty powerful at the minute. I don't know. I might actually maybe finish that game with this character, because I sort of wiped the floor with the boss I was stuck on initially. I don't know. I can't remember like if that boss is meant to be tough or anything, but it seemed really easy. It was annoying because like that boss has a dumb thing where if you don't kill some guy like before you go and face it, it'll just respawn, which I didn't know about. So I killed her and then she respawned, and I didn't have any idea what I was doing, so I looked it up and had to fight her again. But it wasn't that bad. But yeah, that was pretty much me for the last week. Like, Crusader Kings is pretty much taken over my all my gaming time. I really want to get back into Gravity Rush. I've just been completely neglecting it. Because that game,
yeah,
that game
guilty seemed
really
of that
cool.
This week too. I meant to play more of that, but just never got around to it.
Yeah, I need to play that. It's just, I don't know. I'm like, it almost seems like too much of a time investment. Like Spelunky, I can just like play for like 10 minutes and just put it down. But
Oh yeah, Gravity Rush is definitely a game you need to sort of carve out a bit of time.
Yeah, definitely. I think I was almost considering like just playing it while I was playing Crusader Kings, because like Crusader Kings, like there's like no story, and like he can look away from the screen for like 20 minutes, and like the game will pause because some dialogue box will come up, and like, you know, as long as you're not like doing something insane, like, oh, I'm just gonna march my army over here and not really look what they're doing, like, as long as you're like clever, you can play that game like pretty passively. So I may end up doing that, still be playing like two games at the same time while also listening to a podcast or something insane, just to fully maximize my time. But yeah, I definitely need to play more Gravity Rush, because that game seemed cool. And there's a sequel apparently coming, so
awesome.
Yeah.
Brad.
Yes.
Sorry, John, I thought you were finished.
I am.
Oh, okay. Brad, what have you played this week?
Not a whole massive amount. Been pretty busy this week starting up uni shit again, but I checked out a few new things that I don't think I've mentioned before. One of the first ones was 3089. I don't know if either of you two watched the quick look.
That game seemed interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so if you haven't seen the quick look on Giant Bomb, I actually kind of recommend checking it out to kind of get an idea of sort of what that game is, because it's really weird. It's made by one dude in Java, and it's a sequel to a game that he's made like four sequels of. I think he just keeps on iterating them, and they're like re-releasing them as new titles. But it looks budget/low quality, at least like at the first glance. And it definitely has a lot of pangs of, you know, this is definitely made by one dude. There's very little polish. You could almost say the art is programmer art at best. And it's kind of weird. But after watching, like, when I started watching the quick look, and I know the reason I got this was because my cousin got this, and it has co-op, and we wanted to check it out co-op. But at the beginning of watching the quick look, my cousin said the same, that you look at the game and you just go, this looks like absolute shit. Like, just hands down, it just looks like garbage. And then, as you kind of watch the quick look, you're just kind of like, maybe I should play this. Isn't terrible. So it's a procedurally generated action RPG. It's got action RPG in the title, so it must be an action RPG. You basically just there are guns and swords, and you're an android, and you get randomly generated quests in a randomly generated world. They give you skill points you can put into a variety of skills with, like, you know, your health, your defense, and then also things like stealth and stealing, and also piloting, so you can fly spaceships. And then as the game just goes on, you kind of get like drips and drabs of more stuff. And it's the stuff that the game doesn't present up front that actually kind of makes it engrossing and interesting to play, and, you know, kind of make you want to keep leveling up your dude and getting more points and more skill points. I mean, the whole core of the game is like, there's only about four or five different quests, and then it just chains a few of them together and rewards you with money and skill points when you complete them. And the quests kind of force you to explore further out in the procedurally generated world. I mean, all the quests are basically kill a bunch of dudes, kill a boss, sneak up on someone and stare at them, sneak up on someone and click E on them, sneak up on someone and then murder them. And that's about it. Those are like all the quests, and it just randomly mixes them up into like bundles of like between two and five quests, and then gives you different amount of skill points depending on how many there are. I mean, at its most basic level, it seems like kind of lacking, but then as you kind of play it, you come across more and more really weird things, like there are trap doors in the ground, and you go underneath the ground, and then there are brains that talk to you and then you get a gun that allows you to build things for no reason whatsoever. Like, you can build chests to put items in, and you can literally just build walls that I presume you could eventually make, like, a whole building out of Minecraft style. And then you get a hoverboard, and then you get a gun that allows you to pick up chests, and then you get a gun that creates decoys, and a grappling hook, and then you can fly a spaceship. The game's just insane, is what I'm trying to say. It just, the more you play it, the more weird things start happening. Like, at one point, so you are on the red team of androids, because for some reason there are teams, and the whole crux of the story is you're an android with emotions. Apparently there is an ending to, there's an actual story arc and an ending, so I don't know, have a clue what happens at the end of the game, but you're one of the only android with emotions, and you're on the red team, and the idea is you're sort of, I don't know what the justification for it is, but basically you're special, and you're like being tested by overlords. And so it's the red team versus the blue team, and you basically just go around fucking up blue androids all the time for no real reason whatsoever. There's just like a constant perpetual war between red and blue androids. And then there are these neutral grey overseers that fly around, and they have a red cannon and a blue cannon, and I guess one of them shoots one type and one of them shoots the other. Anyway, I jumped up in the air and blew one of those up, and then I got a message saying, like, you shouldn't have killed that. And I was like, why shouldn't I have killed it? It was there. And I'm just really confused about what 3089 really is, but it's sort of fun in a kind of broken way.
Game seemed completely bizarre and impenetrable, but
apparently it gets weirder the more you play it.
Yeah, it was funny, like, as that quick look was starting to end, like, I was like, this is on the cusp of being something completely bizarre. I'd like, as they just started walking out into, like, the wasteland or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That game.
AI is retarded. Like, sometimes you'll get a boss that's in a spaceship and it'll just start flying higher and higher and higher and higher, and there's nothing you can do about it. And sometimes you'll get missions that are like, sneak up on this dude, do not kill him. And you're like, okay, cool, I'll go do that. And then your teammates will come over and blast the shit out of him whilst you're trying to... Like, you'll just be standing there. And also you can get people to follow you around, and you can have like a seemingly limitless entourage of androids just following you. I had like 20 following me at one point, just running around, shooting shit. And there's only two weapons. There are guns and there are swords. And that's it. And the swords are like... It's really weird. You can lock on to people and then charge up an attack, and then when you release it, you jump towards them. So it's the only way you can hit flying enemies, is to lock onto them, charge up an attack, and then launch yourself into the air, and then like repeatedly like slash them and charge into them and slash them and like basically fly after the spaceship.
That sounds kind of cool.
It sounds cool. It controls like shit though.
Oh, that's disappointing to hear.
if
that sounds like a really good mechanic.
Yeah, it would feel super awesome. It's like, you can, if you do it right, you never touch the ground. You just keep on locking on and jumping in, slash, go back, lock on, jump in, slash. And like, you kind of fly, which feels really awesome when it works. The problem is the lock-on reticule doesn't appear immediately. And if you're not looking in the right direction, slash within a certain range, lock-on won't happen. So you'll be holding right-click to lock on and think, oh, I didn't do it, let go. And then the lock-on reticule will appear and cancel, and then you'll have to start locking on again. And you'll just, unfortunate that doesn't work as smoothly as it could, because that's actually kind of fun. Like, I don't use guns at all. They just feel like shit compared to the sword. But yeah, again, watch the quick look, and if it piques your interest, maybe try it with someone. It was fun enough co-op. I mean, the co-op is barely co-op. It's basically, there are all the quests you get as single player, that you can talk to your friend and get a duplicate of the exact same quest that they are on, and then do it at the same time as them, which is weird. I don't know why they can't help you on your quest, but apparently they cannot. So yeah. What else did I play? I played an hour of Saints Row 4.
Okay.
Because it was free this weekend and it has co-op, and I was like, I guess I will try it. But I joined in someone's game who was like, have either of you played Saints Row 4?
No.
Played it for probably, I don't know, a couple of hours maybe.
So did you get to the point where Earth gets blown up?
Yeah.
Okay, so I joined someone... Oh, yeah, sorry, spoilers. I don't know how far in that was, because that was where I started playing the game. Like, the first mission I did, Earth blew up.
Far in.
And I was like, okay, cool!
the actual first mission is... You're the president in that game, aren't you? If I remember correctly. Yeah. When you start, yeah, you're the president. And aliens invade, and you go fuck up the aliens, and then the aliens capture you, and then the aliens blow up Earth, and they're like, yeah, hold that. And you're like, oh, man.
Okay, I missed all the justification for it, and I was just like, oh, I'm coming out of the Matrix, and then, okay, cool. And that game drops more references in Borderlands 2 to, like, internet memes. It's kind of offensive. Really? Well, not even just internet memes. It quotes, like, there's a mission where Baby Don't Hurt Me is playing, and they're quoting stay on target, and, oh, what was the other really awful quote that they used? I know, they're just constantly quoting movies, just like every other line. It is as bad as I imagined Borderlands 2 writing.
That's crazy. Like, I think that was the thing about like Saints Row 3, was that it carved out its own niche, like in terms of the humor. It didn't sort of like, it didn't go for that sort of stuff really.
It was all right. I mean, the Baby Don't Hurt Me, I actually kind of enjoyed. Like, and the fact that you had, what's his name, in the spaceship at the same time.
Keith David?
Yeah, you had Keith David. Keith David playing Keith David.
Yeah.
On your spaceship whilst that song comes on. It's kind of cool. I was playing on a mouse and keyboard, and it feels like shit trying to do the sprinting and running stuff. It wasn't very fun.
Can't imagine that plays very well on that setup.
Just the fact I was, like a brand new level 1 character a bit further into the game and had, like, no upgrades or anything, I couldn't really do the sprinting and running stuff as well as my friend.
Yeah. So. It doesn't take much to get that stuff up though, which is quite good.
Yeah, by the time I'd played an hour, I already had a bunch of upgrades, so it's okay. But I probably won't be buying it, is what I'm saying.
No, I was pretty underwhelmed by that. Not kind of a knock on it, but I just think Saints Row. I mean, we've talked about this before, but I think Saints Row 3 just hit at a time where, for lack of a better phrase, like, games needed that sort of game to come out, and I don't know, Saints Row 4 didn't really hit, like, stick with me much, even like they added like all the crazy sprinting and basically just made it Crackdown. I didn't find it as good. I didn't find the movement as good.
Also, they had the spaceship setup was worryingly Mass Effect inspired. You talk to dudes on your spaceship and stuff, you know what I mean?
I never did any of that bullshit.
Okay, it was very fake Mass Effect. They just seem to be cribbing on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's like
there was no sort of cohesiveness to it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Actually, I think that's why the mobility stuff was a bit kind of like, like, can see why you've done this, but you.
Also, the most fun I had in Saints Row 3 was pimping cars, and that's completely irrelevant in Saints Row 4.
Yeah, because you don't drive.
Ever get in a car.
Yeah. And I just don't think the movement stuff was as... It felt very loose.
Yeah.
I thought. There's quite a bit of precision to Crackdown's movement once you get the hang of it. You can be very, very efficient with how you move in Crackdown, especially in 2. Unfortunately, 2 isn't as good a game, but the movement in Saints Row is very, like, you can find yourself missing a building. It's like, oh, shit, I jumped too far, or I was running too fast when I hit this bit, or something like that. But...
Other than that, all I did was play more Vice City. I got, I don't know if it was last week or this week, but I got my first sub 140 time. I got 139.03. I think that was last week, wasn't it?
Oh, nice.
I can't remember. And I had a run going, I believe it was yesterday, that was on for top 10 leaderboard time. It was going to be a 136 something. I was like 2 minutes ahead of my PB, and I was like, this is a very fast run. And then I destroyed it. So that was sad. But yeah, that was me for this week.
Cool. I literally played nothing this week. Very, very, very injustice heavy week this week. final round is in like 8 weeks, so that might be, I might say that quite a few times over the next, over the course of the next couple of months. But yeah, I don't know. Not much to say about Injustice. Kind of makes me really appreciate having the Vita version though. The weekends are sort of when I play the, like my regular like training partners online on PS3 and PC. And in the week, I just kind of look up everything I can on the Vita and then try and take all that shit into those games. And this was like the first week where that stuff really paid off. So yeah, the Vita version is definitely worth having if you're into that sort of shit. It's very, very handy to have that and just look up stuff on the move and not have to bother with that, like, as a mainstay when you want to play the real, quote-unquote, real versions or whatever.
You can use the move with the Vita?
No.
You said you can look up stuff on the move. Sorry. Oh, right. It was a poor joke.
I see what you did there, yeah. But yeah, like that is really handy, though. Like, that is just a super nice bonus if you haven't got, like, tons of spare time to put into it. But yeah, I didn't play anything new. I did play a little bit of Gravity Rush, but not an amount to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to play more of that. That's kind of my main game I want to play at the moment, really. I really dig that game. I think it's pretty original. In a way that, like, it's not original for being original's sake. Like, it's just a pretty neat game. Like, there's not really anything, I've never played anything quite like that. So I definitely want to play more Gravity Rush, but no. That pretty much does it for me this week. Lots of Injustice, so. Should we move on to news?
Yes, what little there is of it.
Yeah.
I guess the big story is Nintendo.
Are on fire.
Yeah, Nintendo actively
not
on fire.
Not in a good way.
No.
Not in the good way at all.
In the bad way. The very bad way. So they basically came out and said they're considering a new business structure, after they forecasted, a $250 million loss, for the current fiscal year, which ends, at the end of March. And they've also slashed their sale forecast for the Wii U from 9 million to 2.8 million, which is a lot. They basically made some sort of vague quotes about sort of moving on to like smart devices, like putting stuff on phones. But yeah, this is not sounding good at all for Nintendo.
I mean, as long as they keep making good games, shouldn't be too much of a problem. But it will be sad if they have to bow out of, you know, some part of their business, be it hardware or something else.
Yeah, at this point, I would.
I think
not...
hardware is looking the most likely. I mean,
I think they still make a lot of money on the handheld stuff. I just think, I honestly think like the Wii U was going to be their last like home console.
Really, yeah. I mean, that's been said about it before, though. I mean, can't dispute that. Like that has been said about them before. And then they came out with the Wii and were like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, I suppose. I just think
I can't see them releasing another one. I don't want to say this, you know, this gen, but it would be kind of weird for them to bring one out. I mean,
I said before we start the show, someone made a pretty pertinent point in the comments to the news story on Giant Bomb, saying like the market for Nintendo is like not entirely but almost entirely built on nostalgia for the SNES and NES stuff and like they're older stuff.
That is true.
It's built on those like brands like, you know, like Mario and Zelda and stuff, and they're not a company to it's not that they don't want to innovate, because obviously the Wii was like, let's just go in this crazy direction that no one else is going in, but they don't sort of like try and follow the trends, I guess, of the industry, and sometimes that works. Like, I suppose with the 3DS or even just with the DS and the Wii, and sometimes it, you know, falls flat on its face with the Wii U. Like,
don't know. Did they really try anything with the Wii U? I mean, that's.
Well, I mean, you know, they were banking on the like the tablet stuff to basically, I don't know, sell consoles, and it didn't.
I guess. I think the fact that like Sony, I mean, I really hope that Vita TV thing actually comes out, you know, worldwide, because I'd be interested in getting one of them. But it might have been on a Bombcast, actually. I can't remember, but I think was it? It'd been Vinny. That mentioned like they'd use the I don't know what the actual setup is called, but where you can like, you know, play PS4 games or PS3 games on another TV with like that thing hooked up or something. Mm. I'm pretty fuzzy on how that actually works, but I'm fairly certain you need that to make it work. And that was like sort of a big selling point for the Wii U. And Sony seemed to have sort of done it like almost without even trying. It's like, yeah, you can do that with this. I can't remember what it's called. What is that? It's not the Vita TV, it's something else. But I just really can't remember the name of it.
I'm not sure.
It might be Vita TV, actually. But yeah, you can pretty much play, like, you know, you can play any other game as long as that is hooked up and working. You can play it on any TV, like in a house. You don't have to play it on the one that the PS4 is hooked up to.
So. Yeah, I think there was the Vita TV that they said they were going to allow you to stream to other TVs your PS4 footage.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah,
I mean, because it uses the off-screen thing that the Vita does, or it would use the, you know, you can obviously stream your PS4 to a Vita, so you can do it to the Vita TV.
That was one of the, I think that was when the PS4 came out, it was like one of the big updates for the Vita. That was on like the Vita's desktop, for lack of a better word. It's like PS4 link, you can set that up pretty easily from what I've heard, but I only know two people that have a PS4 and none of them have got a Vita, so.
Yeah, Nintendo. I mean,
just make games.
Yeah.
I mean, they always have that to fall back on, and that wouldn't be a terrible thing.
That went really well for Sega, didn't it?
Yeah, but you could certainly argue that Sega's games weren't as good. I mean,
this is true. Maybe. But who's to say Nintendo's will stay good with less money and.
True. I mean, Nintendo's games don't really do anything for me, but they certainly do a lot of things for a lot of people. So if they were to come out on, you know, non-Nintendo platforms, I imagine there'd still be an audience that would want to buy them. It would be really weird playing like Mario on Xbox, though.
Yeah,
that would just be so fucking weird.
Yeah, Nintendo like not having a console presence either would, like, I'm not going to go out and buy a Wii U, but it would be weird, like, if that wasn't a thing anymore. I hope they don't just disappear, because they are like the last sort of remnant of like original console stuff, really.
Yeah, they are, really, aren't they? Because I mean, in the grand scheme of things, Sony came into it, you know, quite long after Microsoft, even further after.
Yeah. it would be totally bizarre if they weren't a factor anymore. The Wii U just.
I can't see what they do, though. I mean, I really can't see them bringing out I don't know what they'd call it, but you know, something that was like hardware-wise on par with a PS4 or an Xbox One.
Yeah, I don't really think that there's a need for it, though. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, point. I would agree, like, I'd agree with that too. I'd say there is, but you know, I'd say that for them to remain, you know, relevant in consoles at least, like they would have to, really. I mean, it's clear the Wii U is not doing what it was. Wii U is not doing what they wanted it to, and that's a large part of it. Came out in such close proximity to, you know, quote unquote true next gen systems.
And their target audience doesn't want or need a more powerful console.
Yeah, yeah,
like, yeah.
Everyone was done with the Wii, and no one who owned a Wii was like, man, I wish this thing did 1080p so I could play Wii Sports on my HD TV. Like, no one gave a shit. Like, that's why that thing did well. Because no one gave a shit.
No one's crying out for like 60 FPS Mario. Like,
yeah, true.
Man. I hope they don't disappear, but It's looking pretty grim.
In other news?
Is there any?
The Valve Steam controller got an update.
Oh, okay.
They removed the touchscreen from it. In the latest Steam Dev Days, they announced a new model, which they've gotten rid of the touchscreen because it's fucking pointless and probably drained the battery. And they've just replaced it with straight up. Well, there's a couple of designs. It's either going to be a D-pad and, you know, a diamond-shaped arrangement of buttons, or two sets of diamond-shaped arrangements of buttons.
Are they keeping, like, the weird, like, touch analog things?
Yep, those are the only thing that fixed, as far as I can tell. That's what they've got their heart set on, but that's a picture of one of the new designs. There's another one where the left set of diamond buttons is a D-pad, and there's a third design where the touch pads are moved to where the buttons are and flipped. So the touch pads are like PS3 layout, and then the buttons are... Yeah, but so that's kind of weird, right? Maybe. No.
What, the diamond layout for the D-pad, or?
No, just the fact that they would, you know, change to buttons again. Seems a bit odd to me.
Odd, but probably better. Touch, not great for most things. I mean. It'd be nice if it was, but like that's the main thing that puts me off that is those like touch analog things. They're just not going to be as good as analog sticks.
Like... No. Well, apparently they're better. Well, obviously you're not gonna have the same feedback, like the same feel.
Yeah. A lot of controller stuff at this point, like don't try and fix what isn't broke. Like. You know, controllers are pretty damn good for the most part now. Like, you know, the design, like the DualShock kind of esque layout, you know, whether you prefer the analog stick, like, you know, up and to the left. I'm not really bothered about that. I don't really notice that, to be honest, going between both controllers. I really don't notice that the analog sticks are in different places, but to some people, they do. But like that sort of general layout is really, really solid. And works for like pretty much any game you'd want to design for it. So why try and move away from it?
To make games that don't work with analog sticks work, I think was their thinking. Like, you can't play Civilization with an Xbox controller.
Oh yeah, you can't. But I mean, you know, there are certain games that aren't designed to be used that way. I mean,
I thought that was the point of the Steam controller. That's the only reason I can even see the Steam controller existing, is to make those kind of games actually playable on a couch with a controller. Otherwise, why
that would
this
be
thing
cool,
exist at all?
But, yeah, wireless mouse and keyboard. It's the future.
There's enough of a stigma against that. But it'll never happen.
Yeah.
Also, that's a pain in the ass. Like, you'd have to get some sort of lap board to use like, said device on. True.
That probably wouldn't be that much better now that I think about it.
No, it'd be kind of shit.
Like, having a mouse, like, on a fucking settee. Like, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Any other news stories that you can think of?
I certainly haven't got any.
I guess there's that letter from IO to Hitman fans, basically sort of outlining their plans for the next Hitman game. Sounds like they're sort of going back to the more Blood Money type of Hitman game, with like more open levels, more sort of weird freeform madness, as opposed to sort of the more linear stuff that was in Absolution.
Did you finish Absolution, John?
Yeah. I thought that game was pretty cool.
I liked it. I just haven't played much of it.
Yeah.
But it was good.
I also like Bunny quite a lot, so I guess whichever way they decide to go with it, I'll just go with them, because I think those games are pretty interesting, and one of the few sort of stealth games that still exists.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that new Splinter Cell's like. But it looked like they were heading.
It's good. It's very.
Is it still like stealthy?
Oh yeah, like oh, okay. It's just too easy. That's my only problem with that game. It's easier than Conviction, and that's saying quite a lot, huh. in my opinion. I played it through first go on the hardest mode. And like that added a little bit to it because a large part of like a first playthrough of those games is not knowing the levels.
Yeah.
If you know the levels, then it's there's almost no challenge to it. But yeah, I just think they need to do something to Splinter Cell to make it a bit more challenging. That latest Splinter Cell game is good, but it's just so easy. Just so easy to be successful in that game. Everything else about it is really cool. Like the customization stuff, like the missions are quite creative and they're really fun to play. And they make shooting people in the head with a silenced pistol while no one's seeing you just disturbingly satisfying to do. But yeah, there's not really... You're just too fucking effective in that game. It's like, you know, like giving you like a silenced pistol with... I mean, you don't have infinite ammo in Blacklist like you do in Conviction, but like giving you that right at the start of the game... It's like, this should be like an unlockable for doing like the entire game on like the best ranking or something. Like this shouldn't be, I shouldn't have this at the very start of the game.
Yeah.
Like this is giving me no, like you have no incentive to use like, you know, the hand to hand takedowns. It's like, why bother? I'll just stay in the shadow, shoot this dude in the head. His dumb friends will come over. Oh, this guy must have fell over. Bang, bang, bang. Now you're all dead and I can move on to the next bit. Like, you know, it's. They just give you far too much, far too early in that game, but it's definitely good. If you liked Conviction, then you'll definitely like that.
They're basically trying to maybe split the difference between Blood Money and Absolution. Like they stated that like it's still gonna have contracts mode in, which was new in Absolution, where you could sort of build your own missions based on the missions that were. Or the levels that were already in the game, like you could set, like, instead of having to kill the target that they said you had to kill, it's like, oh, you just got to kill this random guy, basically. That was a pretty interesting feature, and I guess that'll probably be more relevant in a game that's completely open world as opposed to one that's a bit more linear. I don't even know if there is any other news. It's a very light on the news front this week. Apparently Tomb Raider was profitable by the end of the year. It's nice.
It's good.
Took them a while, but I definitely want to see more of that Tomb Raider.
Yeah, me too. I really want to see another one of them.
Hopefully that enhanced edition or whatever it's called will boost sales more, because they probably didn't have to do that much work to get that on the new consoles. Yeah. So.
What's the difference with that? Does that just come with like all the usual, you know, day one stuff, DLC shit and all that?
I'm not really sure, if I'm honest. Like, I can't remember how much DLC was there for Tomb Raider.
I have no idea. I'm just, you know, I'm just assuming that's what it is.
I imagine it's something like that, and then obviously it, you know, looks better because it's all new stuff, but
I don't think it's not as expensive as well. I saw it on, I think it was like £40. It wasn't, you know, like 50 plus, which a lot of, like next gen stuff is. Which is still the main thing putting me off getting one. I gotta admit, £50 for a modern game is a lot of fucking money.
That's $1 million.
I'm on the cusp of thinking about building a PC.
Yeah.
So that's maybe gonna happen next month. depending on what happens money wise, but yeah. I've almost abandoned the idea of getting a console, at least in the near future.
Yeah. I'm definitely gonna wait this time. I'm gonna do the thing I've been saying I would do the past two generations. In 2 years, there'll be the slim versions out. They'll be way better. They'll be cheaper. They'll have more storage.
They'll have games.
They'll have games too, which is nice.
that's an added
bonus. I'll actually have a reason to play it. They'll have all the like, you know, I won't have to wait for like, oh, this isn't working yet because the patch isn't out, and this isn't working properly because of the blah blah blah. Like, no,
yeah.
I'll just buy it. I'll probably download like a 10 gig patch or some bullshit, and then yep, I'll be good to go. I don't know how they'll work that stuff, but there's very little incentive from the way I look at it to buy a PS4 or an Xbox One. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna, unless something crazy happens, I don't see myself getting one before the revisions either.
Yeah,
could be crazy and we could wait for like the second revision.
or just not get one.
Yeah,
or just, yeah.
Wait for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox whatever they would call their next console.
Yeah, those things really need some games.
Yeah, they really, really do. I mean, PS4's got some coming out in the next few months. I think Infamous is out next month, is it? Or is that March?
No, it's not next. It can't be February, can it?
I think it might have been February, actually.
Sure.
I'm not sure, but I mean, Infamous is out, you know, soon-ish. And soon-ish, I'm assuming that would be pretty cool. I know Killzone's out, but, you know, that's just a first-person shooter. So that's not a big thing for me. But,
yeah.
And Xbox One, I mean, fucking hell. Like, it's Dead Rising. But
yeah. Apparently Greenlight isn't going to be a thing anymore.
Oh.
They're trying to get... Their objective is to get rid of it.
Yeah. As if it's like some splinter organization that's like broke off from the main thing. They can't control it anymore. Yeah, that was a weird experiment that didn't really work.
I don't think I ever bought a Greenlight game now that I think about it.
I'm not sure.
I don't think I ever.
It tells you, doesn't it, that this came from Steam Greenlight on the page. I don't think I have. But yeah, it's like, yeah. I remember going on the Greenlight sort of page, like when it first went out of beta or whatever and was a thing, and it was pretty much like the Xbox Live Indie Game Store. It was terrible. It was like 99% zombie games or Minecraft clones.
Yeah.
Massage simulators.
There's very little original stuff on there. I mean,
no. And like the stuff that is just gets swamped by complete bullshit.
The indie thing on Xbox did have some pretty neat platformers though. Say that, but I mean, again,
not
terribly original. But it did have some cool stuff.
It was annoying because there were 1% of the stuff that was on there was actually good. There were some good games on there, like Super Wagon Adventure. That game's awesome. No one has heard of it though. God, what else came? Flotilla.
Xbox Live game or Greenlight? Which one?
Xbox Live indie games. Yeah, Super Wagon Adventure. If you haven't played that, you should.
I haven't played that
because that's like a pound or something. That game is fucking rad. Flotilla. I guess that came out on Steam as well, but that was on there.
Mini game with zombies in it. That's Xbox Live indie game, and that game is legitimately fucking awesome.
That's weird.
Is that out on anything else?
Might be on Steam, but
man, I'd love that game on the Vita. That'd be awesome. It's got perfect Vita.
God, what else? Stuff. There was stuff, but there wasn't enough, I guess. And like same thing with Greenlight. Like Greenlight had some legitimate games on there, but also had complete trash, basically. I wonder, like that can't be the process Valve have to go through though. Like before Greenlight existed, and once it's gone, like it's not, they're not gonna like look in their inbox and it's like here's like 1,000 shitty zombie games that are all the same as each other. I wonder what their process must be like that they thought that Greenlight was a good idea and was gonna like solve problems for them, because if it's worse than what Greenlight is at the minute, then like I don't understand how anything ever goes on up on Steam. But that's...
Is that about it for news?
I think that's about it for news.
Yeah, I can't think of anything
else. There is other news, but it's not game-related. You guys see the Game of Thrones trailer?
We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
I think we did, because it wasn't out last week, was it? It came out like the night we were recording.
No, we talked about it.
No, it was out a long time ago.
I remember. Yeah, I hadn't seen it. I saw the trailer for the trailer. I actually watched
We talked about you seeing the trailer.
How fucking dumb is that? Like, are we really, like, are people like that, like, fucking media hungry now that we need trailers for trailers?
Yes.
I saw the trailer.
Trailers.
They seems like they're skipping a lot from the book.
Yep.
There's like a full-size dragon, you know, alluded to in that trailer. It's like, okay, you're skipping ahead like 2.5 books, but okay, fine.
Yeah. And I've already read that, I think I mentioned it, but that guy is from book 5 is in the series. I can't remember his name again. I would look it up, but I can't be asked anymore.
That's going to be weird. Like, imagine if like the next book is still probably, I would assume, at least a couple of years away. But,
what?
The next book?
What?
Gotta be.
No, sorry. I just saw a news article.
All right.
That is the most insane.
Okay. Do tell. Do tell, because we have no news.
Actually hurting my head right now.
Oh, is it like a stupid news article?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the title of this news article is Game of Thrones, Jon Snow Might Die in Season 4. Where does might come into that statement? Like, there are books which will confirm to you its status of life.
Or not, I mean, yeah.
What, are you saying they're jumping to book 6? It's just like, fuck it, none of this is relevant. It's not like there's loads of good content in books 4 and 5. They haven't even finished book 3 yet, have they?
No, and they've skipped quite a lot out of the third book.
Have we even seen zombie bloody Catelyn yet?
Nope, we haven't. Cold Hands hasn't showed up in the book yet. The show.
I don't think Cold Hands is going to show up.
No,
show.
I don't think he is.
I think they've skipped him completely.
Which is kind of weird.
Just fucking bullshit, that's what it is.
Yeah,
he's somewhat important.
Yeah, he's very important. I don't know, the show, it's kind of weird to me. It's very. I'm really glad I read the books now. I think, like, looking from where they're seemingly taking the show from here on in, I'm really glad I read the books. I think if they are skipping as much as like they're kind of alluding to, then people that only watch the show are missing out on quite a bit. So they're gonna like run out of shit soon. If they're gonna be like kind of a good chunk of the way through book 4 and incorporating like book 5 stuff in season 4, then what are they going to do? Like, hold the show off? Like, while they wait for the books, or are they just not going to wait for the books?
I think they might just go past the books if necessary.
That would really suck. That would probably get me to
that would piss me off.
Yeah,
I would stop watching it at that point.
I would wait
for the real story.
Yeah. I didn't.
In fact, if they went past the books, I think they would deviate really far from the books. Like, they wouldn't even attempt to get all of the points in at that point.
But
jump to whatever the ultimate conclusion is.
I think the show is kind of weird in terms of, like, quality, though. I thought season 1 was really, really good. Season 2...
Season 1 was amazing, and it stuck so well to, like, the important parts of the book.
Yeah. Season 2 was okay. Season 3 was okay. I didn't reckon much to, like, seasons 2 and 3 in comparison, but... Is that it for news, then?
Yeah, I guess so. I was going to go check the emails. So
cool.
Give me 1 second. So I can't think of any more news myself.
No, I really don't think there is any.
It's a quiet time of year, though, isn't it?
Super light on news.
We have no email.
Sweet.
No. Oh, well.
So yeah, that'll do it, I think.
Yeah, that'll do it for this week. Pretty short one.
Yep.
It's a quiet time of year for the world of video games. Weird thing, new consoles came out a couple of months ago, but still. Anyway, you can email us if you want to. You know, you don't have to, seeing as we have no emails. But if you want to, smartelectronicbox@gmail.com. I can't remember the Twitter. TMEB podcast? Or is it underscore podcast?
It was the first one.
The first one. Wait, so I got it right the first time. And that'll do it for this week, guys. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.
Say bye, Brad.
Bye, Joe.
Bye, Brad. Bye, everybody. See you next week.